It's good to be here. I appreciate the welcome and I appreciate your hospitality. And again, my name is Mark, and my wife Laura, and we are currently from Ohio. So it's good to be with you, and I hope that we can be a blessing to you today. And we'll see what the day's events transpire for our future and the congregation here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, almighty and merciful God, we come to you and ask your blessings upon our Bible study time. And we pray that what we say and what we study can help us in our daily walk with you. Father, we are so grateful that you hear our prayers and you answer them and that you work in our lives. And Father, help us to be more aware of how you work in our lives each and every day. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for him dying on the cross and being raised from the grave and giving us that hope of eternal life. Father, we just pray that you be with each of the students and pray that you help us always be good students of your word. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to look at today John the Apostle. John the Apostle. I bet you didn't know that's what he looked like. That's what I did when I found that picture, but of course, we don't know what he looks like, but that is someone's artistic ability, I guess. Anyway, we want to talk about John the Apostle. Now, when you think about John the Apostle, what do you know about John the Apostle? What do you know about him? What do you know? Yes. Yes. One of Jesus' closest. What else? Yes. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that too. One more. Tell me another one. Strong teaching on love. We'll talk about that too. Very good. Very good. So we got an idea who John the Apostle is. And so I want to look a little closer at him. First of all, who was he? When we think about asking who was John the Apostle? Who was he really? When we think about when we're first introduced to him, in Matthew chapter 4, he is introduced as a fisherman. A fisherman. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And I'll read a few verses. We'll use some of the, we'll kind of stay here a little bit, then we'll jump around. But notice in beginning of verse 18, Matthew 4. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately left the boat and their father, and followed him. So we are introduced. This is our first time in the New Testament they are introduced in Matthew's Gospel. John, and of course, we see here he has his brother, James, and his father, Zebedee. And they're fishermen. Now, when you think about fishermen, I'm a fisherman. I like to do that as my hobby. I enjoy fishing. But I do not use it as my occupation. Now, I don't know a fisherman that uses their occupation. Maybe you do, but only thing I have to go on is the reality TV shows, you know, what they have in there. And it looks pretty dangerous, if you ask me. And I am sure that being in the Sea of Galilee, that fishing was probably very similar in some degree. I'm sure there was a sense of danger there. We also need to understand that we often think of the fishermen in Jesus' day as, just kind of put it this way, as some dumb hick. And that was not the case. You think about what a fisherman, especially in that day and time, it was probably not uncommon for them to know at least three different languages because they would have to take their fish and they would have to sell it at market and they would have to talk, and usually the three common languages was Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. And so they would have to know different languages. And that takes a certain skill there. But there's something else. If you know anything about business, you know that you have to interact. You have to know how many fish you have. You have to sell it. You have to make sure you get a good price. And so there's some commerce and business sense. So when we think about this occupation, we think about it being, it's an important job. It's not something that was necessarily the lowliest of low jobs. It wasn't a great high job when we think of something like a king or someone in a political. But they were probably what we might understand is a middle-class job. But it still took a lot of intelligence for them to do. And this is the type of person Jesus calls. In fact, he calls four of them. And so we are introduced to John as a fisherman. But we also see his father. We learn a little bit about his family here, Zebedee. We don't know much about him. We also know that his mother was Salome. Now, this is not the Herod's Salome that we in that story. Another Salome. And it seems, as we look at scriptures, and I put them up here on the screen, that this was his mother seems to be a cousin of Mary, the mother, his mother. So that makes Jesus and John, not cousins, sister, and Jesus and John would have been cousins. And so there's a family connection here. We also see there's another family connection, his brother, James. James, we don't hear a lot about. We do see him mentioned in Acts chapter 12. Where he is put to death for his faith. And so there is a little bit of a family connection. We don't know if John was married, never indicated as such. And so the scriptures never make any mention. The next, I kind of touched on. In Acts, we hear about John. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, we see that John is with Peter. And he is considered, included in this situation, as an uneducated man. Uneducated. Now, that kind of contradicts a little bit what I said earlier, talking about fishermen. But we got to understand what's going on here. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when the religious leaders are talking about Peter and John, they are talking that they are uneducated in the school of the rabbis. Understand that what's going on here, that John and Peter aren't untrained, uneducated men because of their background in fishing alone would remind us that they were very skilled. They had a trade. But what they're talking about here, they weren't schooled in the Old Testament scriptures like the rabbis. They weren't educated as the rabbis. And so we see here there is a difference. There's also something, you do a little background, and you learn that generally all Jewish children would go to synagogue. And it was expected of Jewish children to go to synagogue to not only pray and read scriptures on the Sabbath, but it was also used to teach throughout the week, school, learn to read and write, particularly Hebrew. And so John, as well as other Jewish children in his day and time, would have grown up with that influence. They would have had a certain amount of education. So when we think about what John is being told in Peter in Acts 4 and 13, understand they're not talking about they can't read and write. They can do math. They are educated in our understanding. They are not schooled in the school of the rabbis. There's something else, kind of a side note, we'll get hopefully later in the lesson. John is author of five books in the New Testament. And so God would have used that skill of reading and writing to be able to bless even us today. Some of John's contemporaries, of course, Jesus, the 12 apostles. He would have known Paul. He had known Luke. And so this is some of the people he had known in the first century. Now, next, number two here. Nickname. Do you have a nickname? Anybody want to share their nickname? we all have probably at one time or another a nickname. I've had a couple. Some of you have emailed me. I think Andrew and Dave. And my email comes from a nickname I had in college, which is basically the first part of my name, Tonk. And so a lot of my friends would call me Tonk. How they came up with that, I don't know, but they just shortened my last name. And that became my name. A lot of my friends through college don't even know me by my first name. They know me by my nickname. Well, I guess all of us from time to time have nicknames for various reasons. John had a nickname. And before I ask the question, oh, it's already up there. Sons of Thunder. How would you like that nickname? Sons of Thunder. There's a couple reasons that we assume that John and James were given this name. We're not really told specifically. We do see that there is a time where John and James wanted to call down fire and brimstone on a Samaritan village because they didn't believe in Jesus. That would kind of add a different element to evangelism. We can go and invite your friends. They didn't come. Okay, I'm just going to send down some fire and brimstone. Well, we see that probably doesn't really work too well, and it didn't really work too well for James and John. But I stress that because he also had another nickname, the apostle whom Jesus loved, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, here's something I want you to put on your back burner. What changed as an individual from being named as a Sons of Thunder to an apostle of love, a disciple of love? Going back to this idea of his Sons of Thunder, some speculate that it might be also his zeal. And you think about John, his zeal for the gospel, and John was one of the last, if not the last, apostle to die, which by way of natural causes, of all indication. And yet we have five books of the New Testament written by him. We have indication in the book of Acts, at least in the first part, that he went on missionary journeys. We see that he followed Jesus in his earthly ministry. So John does have a lot of zeal. Some say maybe that's how he got his name. So take it for what it's worth. John had a nickname, but he was never labeled as the Sons of Thunder for the rest of his life. He was changed to the disciple of love. We'll come back to that. Thinking about strengths, what are some of strengths? Thinking about John, his accomplishments. Well, when we think about John, some of his strength, he was chosen to be one of the 12. Just not one of the 12, he was one of Jesus' closest inner circle. You think about some of his other strengths. He was wrote five books of the New Testament. He spent time with Jesus. Was known for his faith that he was exiled to the island of Patmos. We see this in Revelation chapter 1. And so that tells you something. You know, maybe you've heard, we probably have heard, you know, someone ask the question, would you be guilty in a court of law for your faith? Is there enough faith in you to be counted guilty? Well, apparently John was. And he was put on the island of Patmos for persecution. He was known as a trustworthy man. We see this in John 19. Jesus entrusted Mary with John to take care of his mother as he died on the cross. I already mentioned about his untrained education, but in Galatians 2:9, he is mentioned as a pillar in the church. Now, what's that mean? What's it mean to be a pillar in a church? Well, take it out of the context of religion. What does it mean to be a pillar? Anybody ever say leader, yeah, hold something up, trustworthy. We might use the term probably rock. You have a person, a friend, they're my rock. You know, they're stable, they're loyal, they're there for me. That seems like what is being indicated here of John. John is a pillar, a leader, someone trustworthy, someone reliable in the early church. And all the indications we see, he is a very loyal leader. John also had a great relationship with God, and I think this carries over to him being, how could he be a leader? How could he be a pillar in the church? Well, it stems from his relationship with God. Over in John chapter 21, we see that Jesus points him out. This is in the context of Peter being reaffirmed as an apostle. Peter, if you remember, had denied Jesus. Jesus appears to him after his resurrection. And then towards the end, we see of John chapter 21, Peter is discussing, and he seems to point out John. And I'll pick it up in verse 21. So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, making reference, all indication is John, "What about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore, this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is a disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. What kind of relationship would he had to have for Jesus to point him out like that? We already mentioned he was close. He has already mentioned that he was one that Jesus loved. But it also says something, I believe, about John. See, our relationship with God, in a lot of ways, is a two-way street. He offers his love, but we've got to reciprocate. We've got to respond. We've got to interact with that faith. And that does seem like what John is doing. He responds. He carries out that love. And he too loves God. Remember that John is also the one that recorded Jesus in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." We know that verse. John's the one who wrote that. And remember, John is the one in 1 John that talks about love. We mentioned love a little bit earlier. Well, you know, oftentimes you may go to a wedding and you hear 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And that's true. But we often overlook that there's a love book. That's 1 John. And throughout John's book, he talks about God is love. And the love that we should have for God, on how that looks like and what that looks like with one another. That our love for God is seeing how we treat one another, loving our brother, loving our sister. So these are some of the things that we see in relationship to John. Now, we've talked a lot of good about John. Did John have any mistakes? There's only one who never had any mistakes, right? Jesus. John mentioned earlier, sons of thunder. I mean, maybe he did get that nickname from calling down fire on the Samaritan village. We don't know. But he did want to call down fire on Samaritan village. He did do that. You know, when you think about picking out disciples, would you have picked somebody like that? You know, nothing goes right with them on the first journey or a mission. They don't like it. Well, we'll just burn it. Would you want to pick that person? I mean, he sounds kind of radical, doesn't he? Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. Sounds like a weakness, doesn't it? Yeah. But let me ask you this. Did you know everything when you became a Christian? We often look at people in Scripture, and John, the topic at hand, we look at these people and say, well, they're a giant of faith. I could never reach that point. But we got to realize that there are people just like you and I. And John started out a lot like you and I. We don't know everything. We may not know a lot of things after we become a Christian. We learn. And what we see about John, he had weaknesses, just like you and I. But he overcame. Something changed him. Remember I said, keep down the back burner. What changed him? Here's somebody that has weaknesses. We have weaknesses. But he was changed. He was transformed. It was the love of Christ. He spent time with Jesus. Remember in Acts 4, verse 13, in that text we looked at, they noticed that he had spent time with Jesus. He spent time with Jesus. Something was different about John. He had spent time with Jesus. Now, if you and I are to ever overcome our weaknesses, if we are ever to increase in our faith, we must spend time with Jesus. He will transform us. He will change us, just like John. Another thing, mistake, not necessarily maybe his, but his mom. Remember what his mom asked? Yeah. Moms, you got to love them, right? Always wanting the best for their kids. I guess nothing wrong with that, but sounds a little out of place here, doesn't it? In fact, she doesn't know what we know. They do think that there was going to be an earthly kingdom right then and there, that Jesus is going to overthrow Rome. So she's a little confused. But that was popular understanding back then. And so maybe John, you know, we don't know all the story, but maybe John and James somehow were involved with that. Mom asked, I can't ask him. Maybe you can ask him. I don't know how all that went down. But again, it points out, John, he was human like us. And yet Jesus could use him. He could use humans like you and I. Moving on, Ari mentioned that he wrote 5 books in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and Revelation. Now, he was a missionary. The word apostle means one sent forth. And John was handpicked by Jesus to be an apostle, but part of that mission was to be sent forth. We do see that in the book of Acts, that on the day of Pentecost, and we see in Acts 1 and Acts 2, John was there. And then in Acts 1 and 8, we see Jesus reaffirming the Great Commission before he sends them. That the apostles were started in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all parts of the world. Well, John starts out, we see, with Peter, and he preaches in Jerusalem. This is part of the reason he gets in hot water. In prison. After that, we don't hear much of John, but we do pick up some things in his writings. 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation. And it sounds that he has a familiarity with a lot of the churches in what we call the 7 churches of Asia, modern day Turkey. So he sounds like he has a familiarity with that. And if history, those who recorded history and even church traditions tell us, he did spend his time in this area. In fact, that's how he ended up in Patmos. And during a persecution, and there's a lot of debate what type of persecution it was, whether it was Roman, probably, but we see from the beginning of Acts that there were localized persecutions. Jesus talks about family persecutions. And there's also, we see the Jewish persecutions, and Rome had persecution. So there was those who opposed Christianity, and John, it seems, as he is suffering for the cause of Christ, and Revelation 1 is taken there. Some speculate, some say that basically that he was put in there on that island and later left and died in Ephesus. Some say he died on Patmos. We don't really know. I kind of think he went back to Ephesus, but that's up to debate. But pointed out that he did travel a lot, just like Paul, just like Peter, even though we don't have their journeys all recorded as we do at least 3 of Paul's journeys. Now, it was mentioned that he was put on the island of Patmos. Tradition tells us that he is the only apostle that did not die of persecution, other than Judas. Judas, of course, hung himself. And John was not martyred. for his faith. If history serves, and what Jesus indicates in John 21 is understanding about John, which it seems to be, he died a natural death, the only one. It is understood that he died somewhere in the late 90s and died old, an old man, basically. Stories tell us that he, before he died, he would be at Ephesus, and as the service assembly would have closed, he would address the congregation and say that he would get up and come before the congregation and said, "Love one another." And that's how he would dismiss the congregation. How would we be different? How would the church be different? How would our communities be different if we dismissed every Sunday, every time we get to love one another? When I was in graduate school, I had a teacher that would always tell our students every day before we dismiss, go out and tell something nice about Jesus and his church. Kind of similar to what John's saying. What if we, as God's people, when we dismissed, would have somebody remind us that? And what if we carried that out? Say something nice about Jesus, his church. What if we love one another? Do we need to be reminded to love one another? Turn on your news, right? Do we need to learn to love one another? Yeah. I remember one time we had a vacation Bible school where I was preaching, and we had one of the local policemen come in. And he says his words. He said, "Do you realize that if we all loved God, the greatest command, and the second like it, love your neighbor, he'd be out of a job?" You think about that. How much of the trouble that you and I face each and every day, or we hear about, boils down to two things. We're not loving God, and we're not loving our neighbor. John kind of got that. And so he would tell his congregation, love one another. All right, I've been talking long enough. So, the last question I have up here. What is a primary lesson? What is something you get out of the life of John? What do you get out of it? What's something you can apply? Yes. Yeah, and let me comment on that. That's excellent. When does Jesus find John? What's he doing? He's a fisherman. He's working. He's busy. How many times have we said, "I'm busy"? I need a Bible class teacher. I can't do it. I'm busy. Someone needs to take some food to, you know, shut-ins, or the list could go on and you know, anybody says, "I'm busy"? Who does Jesus call? He calls busy people. John was a worker. John was working. Not only John, but Peter, James, and Andrew. They're workers. Matthew, what was he doing? He was working. Just take it out of the New Testament. Go to the Old Testament. What's Moses doing when he sees the burning bush? He's working. He's a shepherd. Could you imagine sitting in that scene? Oh, there's a burning bush. I got to go here. I got to do my own thing. No, he went. He stopped his work. And understand, it just wasn't taking a break. I mean, God had a message for him. And understand what's at risk. That's his livelihood. That's his food. I mean, they couldn't go down. They wanted a nice wool sweater. They couldn't go down to Walmart in Moses' day. They had to go raise some sheep. God calls workers. Are we too busy for when God calls? Good point. Excellent point. John was a worker. All right, anything else? Yes. Others focused. Yes. You think about just the Great Commission. What does Jesus say? Go into all the world. What's that mean? Go to others. Reach out to others. John didn't get it at first, I think. But he did. And you read 1 John. You read, and it is other focused. Other focused. all through that scripture. Focus on God, focus on others. All right, see if we can get one more. Yes. That's right. He's looking for people who are willing and obedient. Say, hey, I'll do it. That's what he's looking for. It doesn't matter background. Well, we kind of emphasize John because he was called an uneducated man. And so, and that may be where some of us, we have a little education, high school, maybe college, maybe not. God can use you. But here's something else. Maybe you do have education. You know what? God can use you. Look at Paul. Paul was probably the scholar of scholars in his day and time. Very well educated. It doesn't matter our lot in life. Educated, uneducated, rich, poor, good looking, not. It doesn't matter. God can use each one of us. It doesn't matter. And I think that's what Paul even brings out. In our weakness, God is made strong. God uses us. All right, let's see. We get one more application for the lesson. What are you going to take home with you today about John? Boils down to that. And that's kind of, I put those things, a couple of those on the screen if you look up here. When God changes a life, he does not take away personality characteristics, but puts them into effective use in his service. You know, that same zeal that John had as a son of thunder, he still had that zeal. It was just refocused to others, to working for the Lord. He used his characteristics, his background. And I'm sure his ability as a fisherman, he pulled on that. Second, those who realize how much they are loved are able to love much. You realize how John, somewhere in his life, realized he was loved. And I think, I see it in Scripture, he's changed to where he is known as a disciple of love. And he writes about love. And he realized how much he was loved. Do we realize how much we're loved? Do we? Remember, it's John who recorded, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only." Jesus loved us so much. He died for us. He died for you and I. So we could have eternal life. I want to leave you one last slide. We love because he first loved us. John recorded that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We love because God first loved us. Well, maybe I can share with you what John shared. Love one another. Love one another. As you go into your jobs, your schools, your neighborhood, as you go to the grocery store, wherever you go, love one another. What the world needs now, what they've always needed, is to love one another, the love of Christ, putting him first. Anything else? Any other comments? Thoughts? All right, thank you.